But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went down to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Now let us pray. God, our Father, we remember that on the first Christmas, your word was powerful to reach individuals and groups of people. We remember your word coming to Joseph and to Mary, and also to the shepherds, and how they were made to be at peace, and how they were energized, and how they were given a vision of a glorious future. So we pray that whenever we turn to your word, that this would be our experience. And tonight, in these few moments that we have with the written word, we pray that you would speak to us in the depths of our being, for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Friends, it was just over a year ago when my oldest son Mark was making a film in Mogai. And in line with the quirky nature of the man himself, it was a pretty quirky film. It was the story of an astronaut who was part of a group who were presenting themselves for the first manned mission to Mars. And that involved quite a bit of preparation on their part. But the one particular character that Mark in his movie was focusing on was left out. He was regarded as being unfit for this historic mission. The film was called Mission, by the way. And the story unfolds as he tries to deal with his disappointment, and that eventually leads to a mental breakdown which very severely affects his son. The two of them are on their own together. The film required that there be some scenes shot in a school, and Mark asked if I could arrange for this to be taking place in Craigdhu Primary, where I'm the chaplain, and that earned me a mention in the credits at the end. Apparently I'm a fixer, so there you are. But the school was delighted to fall in with the request, and it's a long story, but we weren't able actually to get a copy on CD until very recently, so it was a very important occasion when I was able to join the children on Friday there to actually see the film. They were primary five, the kids who were involved at the time. They were primary six at the time of the filming. Now they're primary seven. But it was great to be with them. Popcorn had been arranged along with Coke. And it was great to see the way their faces lit up when they saw themselves on the playing fields and in the classrooms. But what was more interesting for me, I think, more than anything else, were the comments that were made after the film was shown. One wee girl pointed out that in one scene, when the astronaut's son was running away from school, he forgot his school bag. So that's something that, if the film's been re-edited, we'll need to sort that out. But there was quite a serious discussion as well on how difficult it is to cope when you're left out. And running parallel to the father's story of how he was left out of the mission to Mars was the story of the wee boy James and how he was left out of the school football team. And the kids really got under the skin of that whole experience and even began to share their own times of being left out. It's not hard for us to connect this with the story of Christmas, because in that story, God has a historic mission. In his son Jesus, God is seeking to bring back the whole of creation to himself. The creation which had been spoiled by the darkness of sin and death. God was on a mission to evacuate the whole of creation from this darkness and to draw people closer to himself. And there was no one who was to be left out of this. The message was that everyone, no matter what their background, no matter what their racial identity, no matter what their class, was to be left out of God's great plan. And that can be seen if we consider the story and where actually the birth of Jesus took place. I mean, Israel was not exactly the most important country in the world at that time. In fact, you wouldn't even argue that Israel was the most important country in the ancient Near East. It was the experience of Israel that she was just kicked around by the superpowers of the day. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon. They had all left a dent in the national consciousness of Israel. And now at this particular moment, when God had planned the birth of his son, they were under the heel of the Roman Empire. So God was sending out a message that weakness does not distance you in any way from God. In fact, that weakness and that pain made the people perhaps more receptive to the coming of God in their midst. And who were the people who were most involved in the birth of Jesus? Well, a carpenter was chosen as his family, and a young woman, and neither of them could be said to be movers and shakers in their own society. In fact, they were marked out for their humility. And then you consider the first people who heard the news of the Saviour's birth. Well, shepherds were not exactly people who were revered in their own culture, in their own society. In fact, they were very much on the edge of things. They weren't welcome in the temple because of their association with the animals and how that made them ritually unclean. And when they went to the synagogue, they had to stand at the back, away from anyone else. And yet it was to these people that the angels came with the first news of the Saviour's birth. Quite a powerful message going out there to the whole world, that God does not regard anyone as being beneath His truth. Of course, it wasn't just focused on people of that particular social background in Israel. If we move the story on, we find that there were a group of scholar priests in Babylon who saw a star one night, and for some reason they connected this star with the birth of a king in Israel. Now, we don't know, but I like to think that these magi, as they were called, or wise men, as we more popularly recognize them, I like to think that these men had actually studied at least portions of the Hebrew Scriptures. After all, there were exiles from Israel who had lived for a long time in Babylon, and they'd taken their Scriptures to that place. And these magi, who at their best were great seekers after truth and studied all the religions that were available to them, I like to think that they had access to the Hebrew Scriptures. And they knew about this mysterious figure who was going to arise one day out of the nation of Israel, who would hold the key to all the mysteries of life. Now, how they connected him with the star is something of a mystery. But they're chivied out of their comfort zone, and they're led on this long and hazardous journey in order to get close to this king who was born. So you have quite a wide span of people who were touched by the birth of Jesus. But the one thing that they had in common, Mary and Joseph, the carpenter, the carpenter's family, the shepherds, and the magi, the one thing that they had in common was that they were outside the obvious centres of power. According to the story, no one in Jerusalem, in the seat of government, no one in the hierarchy of the religious establishment of the day were given any notification of the birth of Jesus. In fact, when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem expecting to find the king there, the whole place was bewildered. Herod himself and his religious advisors really didn't know what was happening until they went to the Scriptures and discovered the truth. These were people who were outside the obvious centres of power: Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the magi. But what they had in common was their openness to God and His ways. Open to His word, and open to the Spirit that would take them forward into the future. Now, that doesn't mean to say that those who are the movers and shakers in Israel of the day were excluded. The point is that what's important to God is that people take the opportunity to lay their lives before Him, to go forward according to His ways. And if that opportunity is taken, no one is left out. Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to You for this great message which embraces the whole of humankind, whatever our race, whatever our social background, whatever our status, whatever our understanding. It's open to all of us to connect with the God of the universe and to go forward according to his ways. So we pray that this Christmas season would lead us closer to your truth, that we might know within us the power, the justice, and the peace that came with Jesus into a world so much in need. And we pray this in his name. Amen.